Hey friends, you know that Jupyter Notebooks lets you create code and run code in the cloud with the power of Jupyter and the power of Azure, and Cosmos DB is the great world database that lets you scale your data anywhere. What if they put them together? I'm going to learn how they did that today on Azure Friday. Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with Kirill Gavriluk, who's going to take my two favorite things and mash them together into something amazing.
Thank you, Scott. It's such an honor to be here. And today we're talking about Jupyter Notebooks, very popular framework for
Indeed.
Building live documents,
right.
Live reports, live research, and Azure Cosmos DB, a great serverless, fast database. Together, we think we can do more than the sum of the two. So today we've announced at Build limited preview of Jupyter Notebooks, and now we are announcing a public preview, so everyone can come and try Jupyter Notebooks on Cosmos DB. So you can go and create your account. You can enable right here Apache Spark, which comes with Jupyter Notebooks. You can enable Notebooks later on in your experience as you work.
Okay.
And what does it mean? So you can now run Notebooks. It runs next to your data. You can use it with any of the five APIs that Cosmos DB comes with, whether it's our SQL Core API or MongoDB API or Cassandra. You can use the native SDKs. You can use some of the improvement, Jupyter Magics, they call them, and I'll show you what it is.
Oh, wow.
And all it runs next to the data, avoids data movement, which can sometimes get expensive and slow.
But it's really, you made a very interesting point there that I might be using the Mongo APIs on top of Cosmos, but that doesn't mean I can't also use Jupyter to do that. So any of the APIs that you support in Cosmos don't keep me from using notebooks.
Exactly, and you can bring your existing Jupyter notebooks that use Mongo, for example, run them with Cosmos DB.
That's awesome.
That's why we didn't invent our own
because
notebooks.
It's really Jupyter.
It's Jupyter.
Yeah.
We are running open source Jupyter right in our. Inside the database.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean? So you can go, most of you are familiar with Azure Cosmos Explorer, right? It's a tool where you can start working with data, with
sure.
Cosmos DB, right?
Because
that's what database is for, is to work with data. And now we added integration of Notebooks Experience, Jupyter Notebooks directly into the Cosmos Explorer. And the engine, the Jupyter engine, runs inside the database. So I can go ahead and create a new notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Select my kernel,
right,
and start writing queries, code, etc. For example, here I have a very simple notebook prepared that works with the earthquakes container that has a bunch of information about earthquakes. I keep updating it from the GS feed.
Mm-hmm.
So Seattle is on a shaky ground somewhat, so we can get information about what earthquakes happened within 50 miles of Seattle.
Okay.
Right? So quite a few.
That's fast.
And then that's the important point, right? The reason it's not just Jupyter runs somewhere and Cosmos DB runs somewhere and we're waiting for the network, it runs right inside.
So this is an instance of Jupyter, open source Jupyter, as running very close to your data.
Yep, it runs on containers right next to our. Right next to Cosmos DB.
Okay. So we're not leaving, we're not paying for egress, it's not leaving a region. It's next, it's right next to
the data.
Fantastic.
And for simple notebooks, that's what you get. And you get a bunch of integrations. For example, we added Magic. So now you can write Cosmos SQL API, Cosmos SQL queries directly in Jupyter. You don't have to write Python.
So that right there where you said percent SQL.
That's our Magic, because they call them Jupyter Magics.
Right.
And we wrote ours.
And
you can use them outside of Cosmos DB as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can run this because it's just Jupyter. But here we integrate it and it knows which account is connected. You don't have to deal with
it. So even if someone they love Cosmos, they use Cosmos, but maybe they're not familiar with notebooks, they might find this very natural.
Yeah, it's like a REPL.
It is really like a REPL.
You can try, you go in and you don't know, especially Cosmos DB is not a schematized database, right? It's NoSQL database.
Right.
You could have schema, but you don't have usually.
Yeah.
And you go and you can explore what is in my database.
Mm-hmm.
So you run a bunch of queries. Instead of running them one by one, you just write your little report, keep editing, looking at the data, see, okay, well, I really need this. And there you have your REPL window. But you can do a lot more with it. In addition to just data mining, you can visualize it. Jupyter comes with a ton of extensions. Mm. That's why we didn't want to invent our own. We went with something that is already proven and open sourced because they have a lot of extensions. For example, here is a simple extension that shows, it uses Google Maps and it shows you, visualizes the results on the map. So here are all of our earthquakes on the map.
And you didn't have to change that extension to make it work with Cosmos because it's just Jupyter.
Yeah, and it just, like it underneath the covers, it spews HTML right into this Markdown notebook, and it shows it. So that's great, but you can do a lot more with Jupyter. For example, in addition to Jupyter, we announced currently gated preview of Spark, built-in Spark support.
Oh.
And that's where it gets even more interesting is, for example, let me open one of the notebooks that uses Spark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can run Spark next to the data. The reason it's beneficial to you is now you don't have to pay egress, which tends to Spark working with data tends to be very chatty. Usually you run Spark jobs on terabytes of data, and all that egress can get both can cost you time and money.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're running Spark right next to the database. You don't worry about time or money.
Okay.
And it's Spark. So if I go and look at my cluster. Right here, I see that this is a version of Apache Spark we are running. This is a worker size, driver size.
Right.
I can control how many nodes I want. Now, important, because it runs next to database, mm-hmm. it is aware of your database, it can auto-scale. For example, it can auto-scale based on the throughput you provisioned with Cosmos DB. It can auto-scale down when idle. So you can save a lot of money.
And that saves you a lot of money.
Yes, because these Spark jobs, you create them and you forget about them, and those clusters can run up. Quite a bill if you just do vanilla Spark on VMs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, so we did, of course, we did our own extensions to make it auto-scale and make it work, run efficiently.
Right,
but it's Spark. So you can use a standard Spark UI. You can see the logs from your workers. You can use its familiar interface.
Mm-hmm.
For example, here I have a notebook that uses MML Spark. It comes with lots of libraries. It comes with Spark SQL. So now you can do joins across multiple Cosmos DB containers.
Wow.
With Spark SQL.
So now you're talking.
It comes with MML Spark. So you can do some interesting ML. For example, here we have a 888 access race.
Mm-hmm.
And in this race, we have cars running. And so we have a bunch of containers right here that have information about cars.
About the NASCAR race.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's statistics about kind of based every, it gets about 40 different signals from every car every second.
All this telemetry. So a huge amount of data per second. So it's multidimensional data even.
Exactly.
And you can go and express that. And it's important to point out that this isn't a web page. This is a live data explorer. And suddenly all the power of notebooks is being unlocked. All the power of Sparks is being unlocked. Sitting on top of the massive capabilities of Cosmos DB.
Yeah, and so here we have visual representation.
Now you're just showing off now. Okay, yeah. That's pretty sweet.
But this is just visualizing the data, right? So we loaded the data into Spark.
That's so cool.
And now we can understand, for example, where do people brake and where do people accelerate, right? Red and green. So because it's Jupyter, so we're using visualization, so you can map Plotly, standard library.
Yeah, yeah.
You can map the data on the visual. And see visual representation, where do you need to change the cover, the
That's
pavement.
That's amazing.
Right? You can evaluate driver performance. For example, who brakes a lot and who brakes less, right? So you can see which drivers are very efficient and don't brake at all, and which drivers tend to brake a lot.
Is that possible that person doesn't brake? They just let go?
It's a little
that
strange.
Like an
yeah, it's a little strange. Yeah.
But see, so that's why we want to spend time
in
notebooks, because then I would want to dig into that now. See?
Yeah. So, for example, we can look here and see which the time and which cars spent braking versus accelerating, and we see that some cars really did not run.
So I might want to dig into that and explore and ask those questions, and I can do it instantly.
Yeah.
Asking the question, maybe I find out that the IoT device wasn't working on that car. Or
possibly.
Whatever.
Or in this case, the car just crashed. That's That's why it was
no.
So all this, you can have a lot of fun with it. It's Jupyter gives you this interaction Visualization. Spark gives you scale,
yeah,
and running massive queries against massive data, and all this runs against your operational data.
Mm-hmm.
So real time, you don't have to move the data from operational database to analytical database. You don't have to pay the bill for data egress. You don't have to wait for data to move. There is no delay. You can see it and you can detect anomalies in real time as your data coming in into Cosmos DB from your IoT devices.
The removal of data silos, the idea that I didn't have to copy this off somewhere and spend all that time, pay for the egress, pay for the storage, get confused about my what's my authoritative source of my data. I just do it in place with my real stuff. That's amazing. Yeah. It's such a natural thing. There must have been a huge amount of work. Like, I know I'm saying, this is so obvious. Why didn't you do this years ago? The engineering work to make the layers to snap it all together so cleanly must have been huge.
Yeah, I think really the secret sauce is that we can now run compute next to the data in a very efficient way, scaling out. For example, this is now globally distributed. You can fail over. You don't lose any availability.
The notebooks are globally distributed?
Yes. Yeah, because like you can enable. I mean, you don't always need to.
Of course.
For example, a lot of people use multi-master in Cosmos DB with two regions. It costs extra, but now you have zero downtime. And now you can, but most of the times that second region doesn't do anything. Now you can run Spark on it. You can run, if it's something that is really crucial and you need availability, you can fail over Spark with Cosmos DB.
That's cool.
That is really where the investment went. But of course, I mean, it's open source Spark.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't invent it. We'll contribute back, but we're just taking advantage of great work that's...
Okay, so remind me again the status of what's a preview and what's not, and how do I get this? Because someone's watching this episode saying, okay, this is all great. Stop talking.
It?
I want it.
Yeah, so notebooks are in public preview.
Okay.
As of airing of this episode. Spark is currently in gated preview. You can request access. We're still working through capacity, through the machinery, so we can efficiently run it across 52 regions. So sign up, and we'll get back to you, and eventually it'll be available to everyone.
Fantastic stuff. All right, I am learning all about running Jupyter Notebooks and Apache Spark in Azure Cosmos DB today on Azure Friday.